You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Neil Williams, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting show here on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Neil's out this week, but we have the esteemed colleague, Sherrod Ellis.
How's it going, everyone? How's it going, Mr. Cameron?
Looking pretty fancy in front of that china cabinet, man.
Oh, man. Thank you, sir.
Man, look at you. Going at it.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of hanging there a little bit. That's it.
Got the china cabinet going on. Mm-hmm. Well, so another good week, you know, here in Texas for both of our respective practices, you might say. A lot going on, a lot of new people getting in and wanting coaching and mentoring services. And so I know we've referred some good work, and we're doing some good work out there. So today I figured we would talk about some of the setbacks that can happen with clients, and possibly setbacks that can happen in the on the professional side of things. Mm-hmm. And so I guess one way to start this would be looking at disappointments, looking at how clients or others can be just disappointed in something. Okay. I guess one operational definition for disappointment might be, you know, when things don't go your way, there's an emotional reaction, mm-hmm, to something that happens, and it doesn't go the way you want it to go, particularly, you know, on the negative side. It didn't go good. This is not what it's supposed to be, right? And a lot of that is based on our expectations, right? Because, mm-hmm, we have these expectations about certain things in our lives, or certain events, or certain people, right? Or how people should treat us or act or whatever. And so when that gets violated, then the opportunity for disappointment and other feelings comes rushing through. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I can speak absolutely on that, because I'm dealing with a young man right now that feels like very disappointed by the approach, I guess, that he felt that his parents took in sending him away and happened to go away. And it wasn't a fact of going away. It was just the fact that you allowed me to stay longer than what I felt I should have. So that's where the disappointment and the feeling of, like, say, other things come in, emotional reactions come in, where now I kind of feel not only disappointed, but I also feel a little bit betrayed. I feel like you let me down in a sense, because as you being my parents, I would expect you to listen to me and allow you to understand, hey, I have made this transition. I'm good. I've done certain amount of days. And so
months now. Mm-hmm. So how do you help that client get over that bridge?
Well, one of the things I try to do is work with reality versus actuality. Reality is, they say, reality is our perception, right? Our perception is our reality, right? So one of the biggest things that I try to do is try to work with this individual and saying, okay, your reality in the situation is that you feel that, first of all, you shouldn't have never had to go. That's number one. Number two, you blame your parents for making an executive decision based on something that they don't know. They're not experts in working with individuals from a professional, mm-hmm, standpoint. So from that perspective, now I try to go to what's the facts about the situation. You know, not opinions or not what I perceive it to be, but what are the actual facts about the situation? So I'm kind of working with this individual in retrospect of saying, hey, when the situation took place, what were some of the contributing factors that you contributed to the decision?
Oh, yeah.
and trying to allow them to kind of say, take the ownership and accountability, or had I been doing what I'm expected to do, you know, making those right decisions, those positive decisions, productive decisions, then I wouldn't be in this compromised situation.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. You know, like I say, again, just working with them from a perspective of, we all have our own reality. We all have what we expect and what we don't expect. But sometimes we have to see if our reality matches up with actuality, because there's things in our society that are governed by systems. You know, we have a legal system. We have a healthcare system. You know, we have an education system. So they all have their own guidelines and expectations. So is our reality lined up with those gestures that we have in our social society? You know, like I say, I can't go throw a rock. And then when I see the police sees me throw it, I look up and recognize him and turn around and say, I didn't really mean to throw it, but push, right? The glass breaks. So what's the officer to do? Is he just supposed to say, okay, well, you didn't want to do that. Now I have to suffer the consequences.
Now you got to do it. Yes, sir.
You see what I mean? Yeah. So sometimes, you know, sometimes those things happen and those disappointments set in because, oh, come on, officer, you know that I'm genuine in my apology. But what about the action that took place prior to the apology?
Exactly. And I like how you're, in a loving way, holding that client accountable, because make no mistake about it, that person did some things to get themselves in a position that they were shipped. Further, they did some things while they were in the facility that contributed to a delay of their discharge. They did some stuff. I mean, they could have been doing some things better to then help with the discharge. Lastly, post-discharge, this person could have made other relational choices to get along with his parents and siblings or whatever, right? To not cause whatever friction is there right now that you're dealing with. So there's stuff at every turn where this guy or this client, right?
Mm-hmm.
was responsible. And yet, and I don't know if you'll bring it this up.
But yeah, you and I both know that in those type of situations, it's easier to point the finger at someone else. It's easier to go outward and be able to say, hey man, it's your fault, because you know you're supposed to be the adult, or you're supposed to understand I'm your child, or I'm, you know, whatever. But not taking that accountability, you know, for your actions is a big thing.
Yeah, it is a big thing. And how interesting, on this other assignment that you've taken on recently, if that individual doesn't turn around pretty quick with mm-hmm. their choices, they might get shipped.
Absolutely.
And so you're there as this possibility. You're there as this possibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now this is interesting the way I see this, where we have a teenage client that is in the contemplation, the early contemplation stage of mm-hmm. of dropping a cannabis dependence, and I mean nothing short of that. It's a cannabis dependence.
Absolutely.
And so there's this kind of interesting crossroads where the person is stuck in their chemical dependence, but they are not going to go to a hospital. They are at that moment, they're not going to go. They're not going to check in further. They're not going to go to an IOP, mm-hmm. you know, possibly for whatever reasons, you know. Now in what, July of 2021, now it's kind of hard to get a bed in some of these places, much less do an intervention on a youth and get the youth to realize that they have a problem, they need to get help for the problem. Well, then there comes you. Mm-hmm. As a mentor and a recovery coach that can come in there and maybe do some mentoring and coaching towards sober coaching, maybe doing some life coaching, maybe even in its own way facilitating a referral to treatment where the youth understands, like, man, you know, I had a counselor at first and now I have a recovery mentor second, and if that person is still blowing and going, right, mm-hmm. particularly doing things that could be grounds for criminal arrest. I just, that's tough when your clients, I'll speak for me, when my clients willfully engage in things that could result in a criminal arrest, which that was an issue here, looking at what the amount and the quantities that were being hailed, that would have been a felony. So had that been discovered by law enforcement. Okay. So anyway, I just want to set that stage, how interesting that is with that, because now you're coming in new, assisting that individual, start where they're at. And then what are some of your thoughts on that newer situation?
I mean, sure. just like you say, that distorted perception, because we know people who love the cannabis, you know, we know people who are down with Rick James, right? I'm in love with Mary Jane, right? It's God's herb, you know, it doesn't really, you know, happy, hungry, sleepy. It doesn't cause us to go out and break the law, do things like that. So when you have that kind of, when you have that kind of mindset, when you have that kind of reality, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Don't pay attention, because we know what individuals that love the cannabis, we know what they do. They go and do research, but they do research in their favor, and they're very biased about it. I don't want to see the biology of it. I don't want to talk about, you know, the facts of what it does to my brain, my memory, and things like that. The brain cells that are, the memory cells that are destroyed. I'm not looking at that part. That part means nothing. I want to look at the things to where, you know, medically it helps or it does things like that. But then you ask that question: is it helping you medically? Did you self-diagnose yourself? And so, whenever you have to deal with that, that's why I love that that approach that I use: reality versus actuality. Because it covers life. Yeah, you see things this way, but in actuality, where we can look up facts, what is it actually doing to you? Right. What is it actually doing for you? And what is it doing against you? Again, it's right. A situation where now you could kind of teeter-totter on the criminal side, to where you could not be by your parents, but you could be forced by law enforcement to lose your freedom.
Right. And another thing about that case and many others, particularly youth cannabis cases, those are really tough because, first of all, when you're young, when you're 15, 16, 17, 18, your biochemistry, man, those experiences are a lot more magnified and profound for them as they would be for me. Okay. So it's like your first love. Remember that? Your first love. That puppy love, that first boy, you just said, I'm in love with this person. We're going to grow old together. I just know it. I feel it because of my feeling, this and that and the other. It's just real intense. Well, then that young brain gets a hold of that THC, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that becomes? That becomes more than the first love, right?
Absolutely.
And then when you take that first love away and this dude is going to F-S up or slam a door or destroy a wall. Hey, man, you know, because his stuff, hey, man, I mean, that's some psychological withdrawal right there, you know.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, go crazy almost. Not anyway. You take my stuff and, you know, I'll go off on you. You take my Keef catcher, my grinder, and, man, it was all kinds of stuff, right? So anyway.
And that's what
it's kind of interesting, man, because.
But that's where that disappointment sets in, right? Because my reality as this young man, you know, my reality is, hey, I'm not out here breaking the law. I'm not out here doing anything. It helps me. You know, we always give our excuses of what it helps us do. It helps me with my anxiety. You know, it helps me eat. See what I mean? It helps bring me down when you know, allows me to focus. You know, I can study better. So, you know, they try to give all those perks to say, this is what it helps me do.
When in actuality, you become dependent on it to function.
Absolutely.
And then you get to that point, which it's easy to do. It's easier now more than ever to do. Through edibles, through tinctures, through smoking flour through so many different methods of administration and routes and levels and stuff like that. That so it look, I can understand so how that can happen, but like you said, the actuality is, here's a picture of this. Here was what was going to happen. Here, the facts are, this is what you've been doing, consistently doing, right? And those are the facts. And so, like you said, that's the actuality, right?
Yeah, and then wonder where the depression comes in. Wonder where the lack of motivation comes from. Well, because you're not paying attention to what marijuana, what the THC does for you. It robs you of your motivation and your desire sometimes to get up and do things. Because I'm just sitting still, you know. I'm in relaxed mode. I don't really want to use a lot of energy because this allows me to just feel very good, allows me to feel relaxed, but am I really productive?
Right. And so, you know, video games do the same thing to some kids, right? They play videos all day and they're doing that. You know, the withdrawal is a little bit more profound and the legal consequences are a lot more profound.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, especially for these kids that are 17, teetering on 18, where they try them as adults and get that on the record as an adult, man, and that's not good. You know, it's hard to expunge those things. So you get caught later in life, and the law comes for you later in life. Man, that's going to stick with you, you know. And that's a fact as well. Well, good, man. I think, you know, yeah. So speaking of betrayal, funny thing on that second individual, the family dog about, I think it was 6 weeks ago, the family dog found the kid's stash in the backyard. That was buried. That was meticulously hidden. And the dog pulled it right on up. Brought the baggie up to the back door. Showed what? Look what I found.
Wow. Betrayal.
And this dude felt a sense of betrayal. I can't believe my dog would do that to me, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he sat there. He was just like, man, I can't believe the dog, man. And he was taking. I'm like, man, look.
That's supposed to be
karma is a mirror.
That's supposed to be man's best friend. What are you doing? Wow.
The dog, man. The dog. And that's what's when you're in denial or whatever, man. You gotta point a finger. There's this old dog over there, man. Old Ziploc bag full of pipes and paper and nuggets and stuff. Damn. The dog, man. The dog let me down, man. Anyway.
It's easy to externalize. Yes, easy to externalize.
Sure.
It's the dog's fault.
I wouldn't got caught. That dog had to brought back that bag.
So.
Yeah, that dog ain't gonna do time in the county, but I don't know. But anyway. So yeah, back into the feelings, man, where, you know, and like I said, man, that's another example where, I mean, this young man gets caught again and again and again. And that's why I wanted you to get down there, cause it's just crescendoing and it's going to end up in a criminal arrest sooner or later.
Absolutely.
Nobody stays in that environment long. Nobody stays in that environment too long without getting caught. That's why you don't see a lot of dealers our age or my age. So I got caught. Well, they had enough wisdom to know that, if I stay in this game, I'm going to get caught and then going to do time or whatever. It's just a bad situation. Of course, the end user doesn't see that at the time, but with time, hopefully not doing time, that they see something, get some wisdom. Anyway, so back on our thing about being disappointed or whatever, I guess, you know, he felt a little betrayed, you know. And the youth clients feel betrayed. I can't believe my mom and dad would search my stuff. I can't believe that. The audacity of them to do that. Like, I thought we were, you know, I thought me and you was like, but no. Parents not going to abdicate their responsibility to.
Yeah.
But yet.
And then comes that emotional bullying.
How do you help your client?
Well, you know, then that leads into that emotional bullying, right? Because again, now it's passive aggressive, right? I can't control certain things, so I'm gonna be passive with you. But then when I get in a position where I can control it, I'm gonna be very aggressive. You know, for instance, with a lot of our young people, but I won't go to school. I won't play sports. You know, that's okay. You don't love me. They start saying things of that nature. So again, I go back to that. Okay, that's your reality. You know, you have a right to, you know, to your thoughts and your way you're thinking, but how do you apply that to life? How is that helping you? You know, so I like to work with them to where they have to answer those tough questions. I don't want to talk about mom or dad or the school system or legal system. How is it really helping you? I mean, is it really helping you? And if it is, then keep doing it. If you're not getting any drawbacks from the way you're thinking, the way you're speaking, and the way you're doing things. You know, but if you're seeing an individual like Bruce and I'm sitting on your sofa, then obviously there's something not making the cut. Something's not right. Let's figure out what is not right. And let's see if we can correct it to make it right. But the ball starts right here, as the old, you know, Bond, something from old Michael Jackson, right? Let's start with the man in the mirror. That's where change has to take place first in order for it to be impactful and to be profound. If it doesn't take place within, in between your ears, in between your lips, and in between your legs and your arms and your action. Those three places right there, man. So I work from that perspective, Bruce. You think it, you'll speak it, you'll do it. If we can change the way you think, hopefully we can change the way you speak, and we'll change the way you do things. So that's always my perspective and approach, man, to work with these young individuals or any individual that I come across. You know, we have to start with how you think about things. What is your perception of it? And what is your perception of betrayal? What is your perception of, you know, disappointment? What is your perception of expectations, you know? So let's start from your perspective first before we start looking outward. So that's where I work from.
Boy.
The dog, yeah, right? Yeah, the dog is doing what he knows. That's within his DNA. I'm a dog. I'm going out here, man. I'm a sniffer. I sniff, I smell, and I'm taught to do what? Fetch, go get, and
retrieve, bring back. Yeah, retrieve, yeah.
Yeah. So he's doing what he's supposed to do.
Instead of a squirrel or a bird, brought back the bud.
Absolutely. Let me go get this acorn, man. That's because, right, he's doing what he's supposed to do as a squirrel. You know?
That's right, man.
So just understanding and appreciating the roles of what individuals and animals and positions that people are in, animals are in, whatever it may be, laws. I mean, you have to respect them. We didn't make them, but it's not up to us to break them either. We know what the consequences are if we break them. Although we didn't make the laws, we know what the consequences are if we break them. We know what the consequences are in our own home.
Well, that is for those that get caught. But you see, I'm special, or I live in a certain neighborhood, or all my friends do this stuff. They haven't got caught. So why are you talking that way to me?
Absolutely. That wishful thinking.
See, this dude here. That super optimism.
I'm invincible. Yeah. I'm invincible.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I've never got caught. I'm invincible. This doesn't apply to me. Yeah. Why are you talking to me about this stuff?
No, man. No. As long as I have, you know, a manageable quantity on me, that's a misdemeanor, I'm good. Oh, okay. As long as you're holding, okay. Well, we hear that stuff, right? It's so funny because he said perception. You and I could tell 100% of our youth clients. You see that stove over there and it's red under the burner? If you touch that red thing, you're going to get burned. Pretty much all them kids are going to be like, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right?
Absolutely.
But yet with these other matters, and we say the same thing, like, hey, man, you linger in this situation, you're going to get burned. Oh, no, man, that ain't going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
What about that stove over there? Well, yeah, that's different. How is it different? Well, because I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know when I put my hand on a hot stove from experience that I'm going to get burned. But I don't know necessarily that I'm going to get burned on this deal over here. See? Mm-hmm.
Because I know I'm not going to get caught. You know that mentality. I'm not going to get caught.
I feel, I don't know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could get caught in the world of statistical possibilities, but I don't feel like I will. That's super optimism is a feeling.
That's right.
You know?
Because I'm not doing anything to get caught. I'm not moving big weight. I just have my own personal.
7 out of 10 of my Harris County, I'm going to say it now. I'm going to say the word black again. 7 out of 10 of these dudes in federal penitentiary, all of them was going to be a rapper for Swisher House or somebody when they come up out of jail. Everyone, 7 of 10. Like, mm-hmm. What do you have to show for that? What's the plan B? Where is your music? Where is your existing mm-hmm. relationships with the label? Who do you have? Who's your influencer? Mm-hmm. No, man, it's just I'm that good. You know, I've been writing some stuff down in my cell block, right? I got some... Mm-hmm. I got some dope lyrics in my locker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know when these people see this stuff, man, it's going to rock their world. Like, I know this dude, TJ, right? It's like, and boy, that guy gets out of prison and they don't have plan B, C, or D.
Yeah.
Right?
Same cycle.
Start and then he's mad at the world. Yeah, the world's fucked him. Oh, shoot, shouldn't have said that. The world's messed him over. Right? He's now the victim because he, you know, this and this and this happened. Well, hold on a minute. You set up that.
Distorted.
Who said the world owed you that?
Absolutely. Well,
I paid my dues to society. Come on, man. Okay, you pay your dues to society, but then does the world owe you something now?
Right. You owe yourself.
No.
That's that
perception. The world doesn't owe you nothing, man.
Yeah, that's that distorted perception. That's my reality, you know. Like you say, What's the setup? I'm setting myself up. You're right. There is a setup, but it's not the type of setup that's going to elevate me. It's the type of setup that's going to devastate me and keep me in that same cycle.
I'm going to delude myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to delude myself into believing this, this, or this sooner or later, you know, sooner or later. So
you have that mindset of betrayal, or you have that mindset of, you know, I'm very disappointed because, you know, I make these excuses because I'm this or because of this situation that justifies, you know, that should justify my behavior or that should justify my attitude or my perception because I'm this or, you know, why are you doing this? Because I'm this. It's always because I am something. And that distorted perception is like you say, well, when I get out, I'm going to be a rapper. I got this connection. Okay, well, if you have that connection, then you should have been like Tupac, the word, Suge Knight come build you out. See, if you had that kind of connection, because you have somebody there, you know, Dr. Dre, huh? Eazy-E, come build you out, right? When you had to go down, come build you out. Hey, man, you ought to think about putting this money into this, right? That's a connection, and that's something that, hey, that's my reality, connecting and being congruent with actuality. Because I do have something that's promising if I follow through with it.
Look at some of these dudes doing other things. Ice-T goes into acting. 50 Cent goes into mineral water. They knew that their days were numbered in the music game.
Absolutely.
They had to go sideways real quick with some other revenue streams because they knew they weren't going to be relevant forever, man.
Absolutely.
And not in that type of situation. So that's the beautiful thing about coaching is that coaching is always relevant. Mm-hmm. Human relationship is always relevant. always going to be relevant. As long as there's humans on the earth, they're going to need human contact and human relationships, period. Absolutely.
Period.
And even COVID illustrates that to a great degree. So man, I tell you what we'll do. We'll take a talking about that betrayal. Let's just focus in on how do we get through that?
Yeah.
How do we help people get through the betrayal?
Well, again, man, we have to allow them to really process that, man. What does that look like for you, that betrayal? What does that really sound like? And we really have to break that down, because when a person feels betrayed, that transitions into anger, that transitions into bitterness. And I mean, now I'm looking at this individual, man, like, you know, man, you know, one of these days, one of these days, you know, they're better than the kissers, right? So we have to allow that individual to understand that that is a relevant feeling sometimes. Okay, it's all right. That's something that you feel. But let's talk about, does that feeling have to come to life? I was always talking about a young man that said, everything in your head doesn't have to come out of your mouth. See what I mean? Everything in your head that you're thinking doesn't have to be spoken to existence. So the hard work and the challenge for us, for people like you and I, to work with these type of individuals that are at that pinnacle of you betrayed me, to where that anger level is almost into rage sometimes, it could get to there. Yeah. You know, we really have to take that aggressive, assertive approach, right? When I say aggressive, assertive, is that we really have to say, you know, like a broken record, you know, okay, man, let's stick to this. Okay, but it made you feel this way, but are you really in a situation where you're not able to get out of it? What did it really cost you? You know what I mean? And whatever it cost you, can you get that back?
Yeah, there you go.
See, I mean, can you get that back? Did they really take something away from you that you can't get back? And so allowing them to process through that, it's okay that you're upset. It's okay that you're angry, right? Because, you know, you think about even people like us. Things happen with us. You know, just because we're caregivers, we're not exempt from having people say things or do things toward us. So me personally, I take the same approach that I take with myself. Let me put this out here and draw this up. This happened. It took this from me. What did it not take from me? It didn't take away my opportunity to still advance and enhance my life. You know, so that's kind of how I attack it, man.
Right.
It is relevant. That feeling is relevant. That's a normal sometimes feeling and reaction to a lot of times.
Sure.
You know, but we have to get out of reacting to things and start learning how to respond to things. That's a fine line between reaction and responding.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so even some of those aggressive eye for an eye type of stuff, usually mostly it doesn't work, because you're not, you know, you're not really getting back what you lost or whatever. You're almost getting to that person's level. And then it's not necessarily a good thing to do that. So,
let's use sports, for example, right? You look at on the basketball court or on the football field, the instigator never gets caught. It's always the retaliator, always the one coming back after something happens.
Sure.
And that's not fine, because now you hurt your team. So if you make a decision to where you're angry and bitter because you feel betrayed, you're not just going to hurt yourself. You're going to also hurt the team, your teammates. And that's what a lot of these young individuals that we work with, you know, that's what they don't realize. While you're in this distorted perception of thinking that, hey, man, you guys betrayed me, and I'm angry and I'm bitter with you guys, but I'm hurting the family. I'm hurting the team. Because one of the things I say, well, look outside your door. You don't look to your left, look to your right, look in the front, look in the back. You have neighbors. So you're not just impacting this house. You're also impacting the neighborhood. But they don't, you know, when you're upset and angry, you don't look at those type of things, right? Because, you know, anger distorts that.
Anger distorts things. Yeah, it does. That's a good point, man. Another thing is that when we get hit with something like a betrayal, it really makes us dig deep in our own morals, values, and beliefs. You know, morals, values, and beliefs. How would you want somebody to respond if you had been the one doing that to them? Mm-hmm. What does Scripture say about this, or what does the Big Book say about it, or whatever? You know what I mean? What mm-hmm. what does a sponsor or another rational human being say about it? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, take in all those inputs. You know, usually with our spiritual program, that's the answer out of the back of the book. Mm-hmm. Easier said than done, absolutely. Right? Mm-hmm. But if we have a good spiritual program, mm-hmm. we can look back there and say, okay, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that, but I'm going to go ahead and, you know, make this correct choice based on teachings and readings and other, you know, mm-hmm. particularly mm-hmm. some sort of non-angry, non-retaliatory, you know, response. Mm-hmm. So, that's something, you know, yeah. we see that. There's bitterness with the clients, but there's bitterness out there in this field as well. So,
oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, being in this profession, man, for as long as you and I have, I mean, we know, I'm sure that you have experienced it as well. You know, sometimes you experience, man, sometimes where individuals may approach you in a way that is very professionally disrespectful. You know, it's demeaning. It's like, man, what did you take into account of certain things? I mean, I may be in this position. I may be in this role as of right now, but are you paying attention to the things that come with me in this role? You know, so it is a challenge, you know, when you have to work from a perspective of when you feel like you've been professionally disrespected. And I'll say professionally, you know, because again, personally, people don't know you. They just know of you. But, you know, when you leave it in the arena professionally, it's like, wow, you know, what's the purpose of having these credentials if you're not going to respect them? Mm. You know, what's the reason? You know, what did I go to school? What did Bruce go to school for? What did all these doctors go to school for? If you're not going to respect what comes with me, I put in hard work to get there, to hold these credentials up, to be able to say, these are my, this follows me wherever I go. I understand that the diplomas do nothing but sit on the shelf and collect dust. But what it took for me to get those diplomas is relevant and is real. And the knowledge that comes with that and the sacrifice and the experiences, man, you know.
That's interesting. So yeah, you know, I that's a good point, right? Mm-hmm. If I was the pastor of a church, I think I would hold myself way more accountable and stuff because I knew I was representing a lot of people I guess sometimes as just workers in a particular field, you don't hold yourself to that standard, but we really should, right?
Absolutely.
We really should.
Yeah,
because absolutely. We're representing
because your clients. Yeah, your navigation system, you know, I always tell people your navigation system in life ought to be grounded in because it's the right thing to do. If your navigation system is founded on that, and that's the foundation of your navigation system, because I know it's the right thing to do. Then a lot of times you're going to make the right decision because you know that it's the right thing to do. Because I'm not trying to feel good, because that's temporary. I'm trying to feel right. I want to make sure that every day God gives me an opportunity to wake up and I walk out that door and sit down with a family. I want to make sure that I'm doing right by that family. I want to make sure that I'm doing right by that individual that I've been blessed to be able to sit across from. So that way, at night, I can rest easy because I know that in that situation, I did the right thing. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, because character belongs to me. Reputation belongs to you and the listeners. See what I'm saying? Because you may not know me, but you may hear from me. Now, what if you hear from a person that's disgruntled? What if you hear from a person that's angry because the fact that I had to come in and I had to work with you, and you didn't like the fact that your parents, you know, well, you got this guy coming, and now I'm coming from a bitter place describing you. That's, you know, that's your, that's you. But if your character's good, people like yourself, Mr. Cameron, will be able to come back and say, well, no, I know how Sherrod works, and I know how Sherrod thinks, and I know his work and his commitment to doing the right thing. So we have to keep that in mind. Character belongs to us. Reputation belongs. It's a spinoff, but it belongs to the people that we serve.
Nice. Yeah, and you know what? If we, and if we go back and we work through that incident, or we work through those traumas, or we work through that betrayal, or whatever, the disappointment, perhaps. If we go back and we work through those things, it gets us to a better place, you know, like, okay, you know what I mean? It gets us to a higher plane, particularly when we didn't act out against the situation, right? We were able to do the right thing, make the next right decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And the bigger challenge too, Bruce, and the bigger challenge is, think about this. What if I don't get the opportunity to make it right? See, I mean, what if I'm left where something happened and I didn't even get an opportunity to sit down and really process it with the other party?
Right.
What does that leave? Where does that leave me at? Where does that leave me mentally? Where does that leave me emotionally? Where does that leave me? So that's the work I have to do. And people like us, you know, that's where we come in to kind of, like you say, work through those type of things, even when you don't get the opportunity and the privilege of sitting down with the person who you feel like violated you, or the person you feel like betrayed you.
Right. But you can still do the work yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You'll do the letters or letter writing or whatever, you know, whatever it takes to do that work. Even though you don't have access to that other party necessarily. So yeah, it's a good, that's a real good point. So yeah, man, you know, getting, as a matter of fact, the first family you spoke of, I know you've had some challenges there where you have good days and not so good days. And man, you came back in there right after a not so good day and got everybody's growing because they ain't no gain. Well, that was, you know what I mean?
Right.
So going through that negativity, but getting through to the other side is totally worth it because it promotes growth and good change. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
You just have to be willing to work, though. You just have to be willing. You have to be willing to work. You have to be willing to put the work in.
But as a coach, yeah, we help our clients, hold them accountable, you know, assist them when we can with the work, hold them accountable, and give them that opportunity to do that work and bounce that work off of us. So. So, you know. That's some good ways to think about that and to not react, but to process things, you know, we always talk about positive peer support. That's why you got to either have a peer or a mentor or a parent, or somebody, you know, that you can talk to. And some of the, particularly the youth, they don't have anybody that they can talk to. Or the people that they do talk to are negative influences, and they're in this silo, right? So they're in an echo chamber hearing other voices that are similar to theirs. Well, that's not any growth, you know? So, man.
Keeps us on the merry-go-round.
That's right. Keep them on the merry-go-round, and we don't necessarily want that, so...
Absolutely.
Well, good, man. You know, that's some good stuff that you're doing, you know, working with the youth and their families, you know, and what a blessing that is, that you be able to get to go into the homes of these people. You can meet your clients in a restaurant. You can meet them at their home or wherever, you know what I mean? And so that's such a blessing that the coaching certification allows you that flexibility to be able to meet your clients in these more close and personal settings. That way you can effectuate change and they can change actually quicker, you know, and get through some of those learned associations about being in the house, you know? So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just makes it that more important and that more robust. So that's one of the things I enjoy about the coaching, is that I'm able to do that, you know, with in the capacity as a counselor, you know, or another treatment provider with a license. You really can't do that. You're just really stuck in the confines of an office, which is fine. Office visits are fine. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes being with our clients in their environment is more meaningful, because that's the context and the environment that they're going to have to make the change in. They're not going to make the change in my office. They may change how they think about something in my office, but they're not, you know, they're going to change at their house. Right.
Absolutely.
They're feeling hungry, angry, lonely, tired, whatever, you know, at the house. They go through an urge to make a bad choice at the house or in their environments. So, having you there in the environment
absolutely
makes a real difference.
Big difference.
So,
but it's a good compliment, right? Continuity of care. It's really a good compliment to coming from the office, learning some of those skills that you teach, and then being able to come back and have someone like myself go in and reinforce where the rubber meets the road.
Absolutely. It's a nice combination, and you don't get it too often, because a lot of therapists will want to keep their clients and ball hog their client, you know. It depends, you know, you have to be willing to know what's best for your client, also be willing to share, if that's anything, if that's a thing. I think it is for some people, right? You know, why am I going to bring in this other person, this and that, when, you know, the family only has a limited amount of resources for this, that, man. You just got to dig deep and see, like you said, what's best for this client, you know? I mean, and recognize where do I end and the next person begins, or whatever, that good segue. So it's good to, you know, I would encourage other therapists out there to find, you know, some friends and contemporaries that are coaches that you can augment your work with. It just makes your practice look better, and obviously helps the coach as well.
Absolutely. I second that.
Well, good, man. That was a good show. We got just a couple more minutes. You had any closing thoughts before we wrap up?
Yeah, I just say that all of my professionals out there that are working and have the privilege of working with individuals, just remember, betrayal and disappointment is a hot topic. And so really be in a position to where you can really teach them the practical decisions and processing methods to kind of help them work their way and channel that anger into a good direction.
Exactly. And cope with that anger and, you know, not be able to react against that, or even do something that would create your own self-harm because of your feelings. So, very good, very good. Well, folks, that was a good show. And Sherrod, tell our listeners how they can reach you.
Yeah, you can reach me at www.nlfmtexas.org. Again, that's www.nlfmtexas.org.
Awesome. Next Level Focus Mentoring. And it's on, you can Google them, yep, texas.org. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. Now, we're also on the Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook, Concierge Coaches on Instagram. And we might have a Twitter account coming up. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, well, folks, thanks for stopping by. Or if you're listening to us on Apple iTunes, we're on Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio, and several other podcast aggregators. So come by and see us. Thanks for being with us today, and we'll see you here next time.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Bruce, for having me on the show.
All right. We'll see you next time, everybody. Take care.
Take care.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Neil Williams, only on LA Talk Radio.